It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Thursday. It's 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. I'm Russell Smith alongside Bear and Marcus with you for another hour here. Jake's getting ready for overtime coming up next from 6 until 8 here on Fan Run. Top 5 is brought to you by Jets Pizza. I'll have some of it for you tomorrow out at National RX, where we'll broadcast live from 3 to 6 right here on Fan Run. Marcus, what you got?
Thank you, Russell. Number one, they may not have won the NBA title, but it seems Boston Celtics might have destroyed the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh.
It's been recently talked about by Woj that Kyrie Irving might be looking for a trade elsewhere. Clippers, the Lakers are a couple of teams who have been named as possible destinations, along with the Knicks, because, you know, being a New Jersey guy, he's got to stay close.
Why would you want to go to the Knicks?
But officially today, Shams reported from The Athletic, saying on Twitter that Kevin Durant is monitoring the Nets situation and considering his options with his future, and that this now opens a path for Kyrie to proceed on finding a new home via opt-in and trade.
Well, it's not like KD to lose interest in his current team and move to somewhere else, force his way out.
Is it bad that I still want him to come to Boston?
And he'd be the missing piece, wouldn't he?
He might be.
Put you guys over the top. What you give up for him, though? I mean, you have to give up all your picks, and you have to give up one of those young stars.
I love KD.
You wouldn't trade Tatum for him, would you?
No. No, and I wouldn't trade,
Jaylen Brown.
They've been talking about trying to trade Jaylen Brown.
Trade
but he's,
Grant?
Don't do this to me. Never mind. Let's just
KD.
Never mind.
Marcus.
We'll just keep the team the way it is. I'm happy.
What about to what about KD to the Lakers? You trade KD for KD for AD?
They have to figure. Well, that wouldn't be bad. They still need to figure out what's going on at point, because Westbrook is just not doing it for them. Unless this new coach can somehow unlock something in him. But I don't know. I don't want the Lakers being good anymore. Especially now that I know Bear's a Lakers fan. I don't need that. Number two, Arch Manning, 5-star quarterback, has committed to Texas, becoming a Longhorn, taking his own route, similar to what Peyton did with Tennessee. We should see him in the near future in the SEC, hopefully for only a short time.
Big news. Arch Manning.
He is the number one overall recruit in the class of 2023.
Yeah, I mean, we started hearing about him before he took his first snaps.
Yeah.
As a freshman down there at Neumann High in New Orleans, and they grow up so fast. Arch is already a senior.
Didn't he have like a 7 or 8 touchdown game too? Like,
yeah, he plays at Manning. They all did.
Somebody sent me a clip of him scrambling in one of their games, and the team they're playing against, it just looked like. I mean, it looked like they were playing against a Pop Warner team.
Like single A.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that he won't be good. He's probably going to be great. But it's the number he should put up. If that clip I saw is any indication of the level of talent he's playing against usually, he should be putting up huge numbers. That's all I'm going to say.
At number three, World Series game going on right now. At the end of the fourth, Ole Miss is up 1-0 over Arkansas.
They're, MWCS, please.
Yeah, don't be sexist, Marcus.
Pig.
You started doing this right after the whole mom jean conversation that we had and the yoga pants. I think us talking about yoga pants triggered something in you, Bear. I don't know what's going on. But Ole Miss is up 1-0 over Arkansas currently.
Don't want to sit on the radio and come off like a misogynistic Neanderthal like you two?
Yeah, you wouldn't want that, Bear.
No.
That's not what you want your reputation to be. Uh-huh. No, of course not.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about the shed or anything like that, you know. Hoping for an Ole Miss win. Winner of this will go on to play Oklahoma. So it should be a good series. Number four, we have the NBA draft tonight at 8 p.m. Hoping to see our boy go to a team that needs him in Chandler.
Yeah. I wonder, if you're him, is it really about fit and going to Memphis or Golden State like we talked about, or do you just want to go as high as you possibly can to maximize your contract?
And from his perspective?
Yeah.
I don't know if he doesn't seem like the big money guy. I feel like he's more of, I want a place that
everybody's
I can go.
A big money
yeah,
guy.
Well, I was going to say. Yeah, I know, but
a big
like,
money guy.
I think he thinks about fit.
Who? I think you're right. I think that
Chandler.
I think that he would, if he felt like the city he's going to at 18 would be better than at 16, I think he'd wouldn't have a big problem there. Now, right. You don't want to go from like 16 to, you know, obviously out of first round, but I think he would be a little bit pragmatic in that regard.
I feel like it's especially with the NBA, I don't think they have a similar cap than the NFL does. So it definitely
all those contracts are slotted. Like, you know exactly what you're getting.
Yeah. Finally, number five, some big news today is that 26 years ago, the Nintendo 64 made its official general release in Japan. And I'm going to ask a similar question to this tweet. Top three
games. Oh, I said for me, this is subjective. I don't see how number one and two can be anything but GoldenEye and Mario Kart. Now, after that, there's a lot of different things. I went with the game that was popular with amongst me and my crew was WCW versus NWO World Tour. Mm. There were multiple fist fights that broke out over that because the amount of just absolute like trash talking that game elicited would have made Tony Vitello's baseball team blush. Oh yeah,
NWO versus
you pick somebody
WCW.
Up and just slam them or just smash them in the face and bloody their nose and. Yeah, that's what you get. And then the next thing you know, oh, man. Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Passions would get. That's a big GoldenEye guy.
Passions would raise. What, yeah. What was your favorite GoldenEye map, Bear?
Dude, what's that, like 20?
You didn't play GoldenEye. I appreciate you trying to participate in the conversation. But, yeah, if you were a true GoldenEye fan, you would know, like, your favorite. Do you have a favorite character to play as?
I'm not. This is show where you're gonna decide to shred me, Russ. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm damned if I do. Either I can say I didn't play GoldenEye, or I can say that
we
smoked
truth.
So much damn weed while we were playing GoldenEye that I can't remember.
I'm not
anything
a about
expert. It. It's like 25 years ago.
I mean, I was in college in those days too. I remember vividly.
What was your favorite level, Russell?
I want to play.
Was it breaking into the laboratory?
I'm going to play basement, pistols only, license to kill. One shot.
I like that.
In the basement. Did you have a favorite? Or the temple was good,
yeah,
too.
I was about to say the temple was my usual choice.
Our crew, we outlawed two characters. Like, you could not play as two characters. Do you know who I'm going to say?
I might.
You couldn't play as Oddjob, first of all, because he was too small and you could shoot over him easily. And you couldn't play at – there was one character that was like – he was wearing a white suit because he was from the snow level, and it was like white camouflage. And we called him the Dirty White Boy. And you could not – in our career, you could not play as Oddjob or the Dirty White Boy. That was just non-starter.
Fair point. I was a big fan of Super Mario and Ocarina of Time, things like that.
What's the second one?
Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time.
It was the Zelda.
You're a big RPG guy.
I'm a nerd.
You're a total RPG guy. Yeah. I never got into it. Like Zelda. My friend was really into Metal Gear Solid. I just never got into any of that.
That's fair.
Metal Gear sucked.
I couldn't even play GoldenEye. I just didn't like to play the single player mode. Shootouts were where it's at
for sure.
Thank you, Marcus. That is the top 5 at 5 brought to you by Jets Pizza in Farragut. Gonna have some of that tomorrow. This time tomorrow, I'll have a slice or two of that in my belly. Looking forward to it. If you meet me around 3 out there, you'll get it hot. Jets Pizza in Farragut. So always look forward to getting some of that tomorrow. John wants to know Bear's thoughts on Volley Fingers' latest endorsement. He sent me the link here. Have you seen this? Do you see what Volley's endorsing?
Yeah, Hammond Goodies. Apparently, he's a chow hound.
Very, very specific endorsement, too. He's got the lemon cookies. Mmm. Good stuff.
Mmm. Great.
He's also got one. Is like a pink frosting on that? Is that just strawberry frosting?
Yeah, strawberry. It's a new strawberry cookie.
I have to stop and get some of those.
Well, don't sleep on their chocolate chip. They're delicious.
865-546-8200. If you want to jump in here this afternoon, Elijah on Twitter says, where did you hear that Toby Awaka is going to transfer in early? Just wondering. That is pretty common knowledge. I know he's listed as like 2024 on the recruiting sites, but he's said in interviews he's coming in. He's going to be here, I think, for fall.
You mean 2023?
Whatever the next class is.
2023.
He's going to be on this year's team.
Yeah, 2022.
Might as well give you a hot take about basketball to talk on the show. Meshack is going to have a breakout season. He's kind of the forgotten man.
I hope he
does. The returners, isn't he?
Either him or I don't feel like we talk about enough. Jonas. Adu.
Oh, Adu's going to play. Like to me, here the difference between those two is there's no doubt Adu's going to play. Like, he's just going to play. He's going to be in the rotation and sink or swim, and we all hope he's good. I think he'll be good, but there's no world in which he does not play at least 20 minutes a game next year, right?
Got to have it out of him.
With Meshack, he's going to have to be productive. Like, he's got to give you something offensively. I know Barnes loves his defensive intensity and everything, but he's got to be able to do something offensively, and he just really did not bring anything to the table on that end last year.
Mm-mm.
Which, I mean, he is a physical specimen. I'll give him that. But he's got to be able to – he doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to be a three-point shooter. So you got to be able to put it on the floor and get to the hoop and put it in.
Yeah. We're going to have a ton of guys that are three-point shooters and are good at getting to the rim and making plays close as well.
Did you hear about the Blue Jays hitting coach getting ejected from their game before the game even started earlier this week?
It's a damn Earl Weaver move right there, isn't it?
He got tossed at the lineup exchange. Didn't even make it. So what happened was, apparently the previous night, the umpire, home plate umpire, had a really just terrible night. Only got 80% of the calls correct, because you know that they can go back now and you superimpose the strike zone on TV in any major league game. They'll have the strike zone there, and you can tell whether or not a ball's a ball or a strike with 100% accuracy now. And usually major league umps, 95, 99% of the time, get it right. But this guy, apparently they had a game, and the dude, they said it was like 80% correct. He had blown almost 30 calls, which resulted in 6 strikeouts that shouldn't have been strikeouts. And so, and I don't, like, usually the manager, I think, goes and does the lineup exchange. I'm not sure if sending the hitting coach or an assistant is, if that's normal. I wonder if, like, the Blue Jays manager didn't send this guy to send a message. But apparently the hitting coach gets out there, and he's got the lineup, and he goes out to home plate. It just goes ballistic on the previous night's umpire.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely flies off the handle. I guess gave him no choice. They tossed him before the game even started.
Beautiful. Get the night off. You got to admit, I mean, it'd be pretty – I mean, that's pretty good.
What do you do after that? Do you just, like, go back to the clubhouse?
No.
Take your shoes, go home?
Yeah, you take a shower and hit it.
Oh, I think you got – I guess, what are you going to do?
I guess you could sit back in the club. Was it a home game or an away game?
It's a good question. Well, yeah, I mean, if it's a away game, you don't really have much choice. No, we call an Uber and take you back to the hotel.
Yeah. I don't know. Major League stadiums are, I imagine their accommodations are pretty swanky. I'm sure there's comfortable places to hang out in the clubhouse.
Guillermo Martinez.
Guillermo.
Guillermo got ejected. Video of the incident shows Martinez shaking hands with the four umpires before saying something to get him ejected.
I mean, Guillermo, how do you say it?
Guillermo.
Martinez, that sounds like a guy that might be hot-tempered.
Doug Eddings was the umpire. He's their version of Frank Anderson. Doug Eddings was the ump who had come under fire for some questionable balls and strikes. That does seem like a Vitello move, too. It's like
freaking
Macias screwed us the night before. Let's send who was our first base coach, the volunteer guy. Let's send Ricky Martinez up there and just have him
take
one for the team.
Yeah. Frank Anderson thinks Guillermo got a bad rap getting thrown out.
That's just so – it's so different. Does Anderson have – somebody asked me, does he have to – sit out the first two games of next season?
I believe so, yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, it won't be against anybody.
No, yeah. I mean, it's not a huge deal, but it is a bummer.
I mean, the way I've read the rules and how that usually works in every other kind of professional in college.
I wonder if our boy Elander's gotten any interviews or anything like that.
I don't know.
I had heard that was almost a foregone conclusion that he was going to get a – head coaching job after this season.
Poor Elander. Imagine being the sane guy in that crew. Or not, maybe not sane, but
comparatively sane.
Yeah, I mean, you're better control over your temper than Tony and Frank.
The guy who has to tell everybody else to chill.
You got Frank, who's been coaching probably longer than Erlander's been alive, and then Tony's Tony.
We'll have Evan Russell on the show tomorrow.
Wow.
He did an interview with
Tommy Lahren. Is that how you say your name?
I don't know.
Tommy?
It was a YouTube thing, or is it a TV? Is she on Fox News or something? It's not a sports show.
I'm not sure what platform it was on.
They had him on to talk specifically about his incident. Like, we're going to talk to him about his career. We'll talk to him about the incident.
Is she with Outkick now? Yeah. I know Clay was pushing it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
But evidently, he said he was considering suing them. That's what ESPN? I heard. I don't know. I haven't seen that interview. So
I feel like he'd have a case, but, I mean, dude, unless you've just got a really dedicated attorney. I mean, can you imagine how much paper ESPN could bury you in a lawsuit situation?
Well, we'll be able to ask him about it tomorrow on the show, 4:20 p.m. Evan Russell scheduled to join us here on The Drive.
I mean, they have damaged a kid's reputation forever. That's basically what he was saying. I saw, you know, paraphrasing. You know, if he does make it in the majors, it'll be, you know, he's basically saying it's that kid who did the steroids. I think it was one of his things.
I feel like, you know, here in our little corner of the world where we obsess about it, I feel like the 10,000-foot view, the initial incident, the Arkansas guy saying whatever he said, did not register much of a blip on the radar. I feel like the fact that it required an apology, I feel like that was probably the bigger story. I don't think that follows him around that much. And I don't know what his – like when we talked about all the players off last year's team that have – and their pro potential, he was not one of the guys that was talked about highly. I'm sure he can – he can go play, but I think he's 5'10", 190 pounds, something like that.
Yeah.
Catcher, outfielder. I mean, it's going to be a tough path to the big leagues for him.
He's going to spend a lot of time playing minor league baseball, if that's the route he chooses to go, the minors.
Take a quick break right here. Open up these phone lines. You want to jump in, take a shot? 865-546-8200. We got a Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question going on here. Is it important to you for Neyland Stadium to remain at over 100,000 seats capacity? Is that 100,000 number important to you? at Fox Sports Knox if you want to vote yes or no on the Twitter poll. We'll give you those results and talk to you about it a little bit more when we continue. Stay tuned. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. 865-546-8200. Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day is staying over 100,000 in capacity at Neyland Stadium, is that important to you? Does that number mean anything to you? Or would you care if they were, in an effort to make the stadium more comfortable and fan-friendly, dip below the century mark? 138 votes cast at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 56% of the audience says yes. Number is important. 44% say no. Where are you at on that, Barry? You don't think
I don't really care. I don't. And, you know, unless, like, you were to call me up and it was one of our sponsors who had, like, a suite or, box seats or something, I'm not. My experience last time was so miserable that I'm not probably won't go to any more games.
Marcus, 100,000, big deal to you?
I like that number, man.
You do?
There's not a lot of teams that have that many. Yeah. And, like, you know, I know we don't always, especially recently, we haven't always filled it up. But, man, we're moving back into an era where our offense is exciting to watch. I don't see why Neyland won't be full.
You think it'll be full for Ball State?
No.
We could go. We could help fill it up.
First game of an exciting year. What? How many people do you think will be in there? 90,000?
About 92. Somewhere in the low 90s.
Let's go to the phone. Shane is up next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Shane.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well. Thank you.
I'd have to say growing up, that was a big deal for me, just like bragging. And I think it was in the 90s. It was Michigan and Tennessee going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
One seat at a time almost sometimes. Who had more seats? But I think I heard somebody talk about this just several years ago even, about how this was probably going to be the future of live sports, just not even in college, but everywhere, just more comfort, more luxury. Higher dollar, and then, because everybody, like I'll mention, everybody can watch at home on 4K TVs, and they don't have to load up the family and spend, you know, what might end up being a small vacation to go watch a game, especially if they don't live right there in Knoxville.
Yeah, it's I just don't know that, unfortunately. Here's the question to me is, if Tennessee gets back to, I'm not even talking about winning national championship, I mean, if they're back to averaging 9 wins a year anytime soon, and we do go to Atlanta, you know, 2 or 3 times in a 10-year period, and you win a championship at some point, will we be back to where it was, where you are selling it out for just about every single game?
I believe we will. Because, I mean, look at the baseball team. Now, I've followed them since 2005. But, I mean, granted, even I would only check in when we were having good seasons. But this year we're the number one team, and bam, that place is packed. And now we're like, well, we need to make it bigger. I think Tennessee's just one of those teams with one of those built-in fan bases that if you're winning, we're coming. And you might want to get ready for that. But, I mean, for someone like me, it's not a big deal anymore because I'm, like, legally blind now. I made the transition several years ago. I got a 75-inch TV, and that was great. And now I'm upgrading to a laser projector, 120-inch screen, and that's great. So, I mean, there's not much reason. I mean, I might check out that party deck when it gets done. That sounds fun to me. But other than that, I don't know, but I do believe you're right there. I think if we can get back to, like, 2 out of every 4 or 5 years where we're competing for the East, going back to SEC championship games, I think this fan base is a fan base that will show out no matter what decade it is.
Well, time will tell. I'm just glad that we're still having the conversation of that there's the belief amongst those of us who lived it that we will get back, that we can get back? Because there are plenty of people out there that say you can't get back. You know, that Tennessee is just – we're Nebraska, we're Miami, we're just – we don't – we're a museum program like Bill Bender sometimes says.
I've tried to mention when I was in the 90s, I mean, I know that they weren't dead and forgotten programs, but USC, Oklahoma, several other of those programs that are
LSU.
Always going now. They weren't – like, as a kid, and when they finally started doing good, I was like, who the hell is – who's that, you know? And then why are they good now? And then, of course, you realize they were always, you know, they were good before. Now they're good again. So there's no reason Tennessee can't be. We just have to figure out the formula, I guess. But
the formula is not to hire an idiot for your head football coach. I don't know if Josh Heupel is the guy. I don't know if he has whatever it is that – not just Saban, but Dabo and Jimbo and Kirby and the other guys who have been able to summit the mountain. I don't know if he has that, but I don't think he's Butch or Pruitt.
I think with Dabo, though, it did take him, 7 years to get to that point?
Yep.
And now they're on a slight decline now.
And that's another program like you were just talking about, Shane, is like what was Clemson when we were growing up?
Oh, yeah. People made jokes about Clemson when I was growing up. So, I mean – yeah, I mean, they make jokes about us now. So hopefully we can get there. You know, I would take that, I guess. I mean, yeah, I don't expect us to be an overnight Alabama decade-plus dynasty, but I would like to get back to the 90s and the mid-2000s where, like, 2 out of every 4 years, you're expected to at least compete for the East or whatever it's going to turn into now, at least win 9, 10, 11 games possibly, and be in every game and not getting blown off the field. I think if you do get back to that, I don't think you have a problem selling out 101,000 seats or 95,000 seats, whatever it ends up going down to or up to. The Tennessee fan base is going to come. And unfortunately, we pay the price for these tickets, so they just keep charging us whatever they want to. But I don't think it'll be a problem. But my answer would be no, I don't care about the 100,000 limit anymore. I used to as a kid, but not anymore.
All right, good stuff, Shane. Anything else, man?
Thank you. That'll be it. Y'all have a good day.
Appreciate you. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump in on the show this afternoon.
Our guy's got a pretty serious rig at his house.
What's that?
Did you hear what he said? How big his TV
is? Oh, yeah. It sounded like he has some vision issues.
That's why I got thrown off by
precipitating that, yeah.
Oh, I got a buddy like that. It's not as bad as it sounds. You just got a gigantic TV.
I'm open to go to I would like to go to the Florida game this year. It's just so hard. We do volunteer your action. We want to be on as soon as possible with that. There's a sacrifice we make for you so that we can provide that service.
I've never been to an SEC game.
What?
Yep. The last time I went to a Tennessee Vols game, I think it was still Butch Jones. It's been a while.
Last time I went, Missouri.
What was your first UT football game, Marcus? You're 26?
27. I'll be 28 next month, actually.
Happy birthday.
Getting old, thank you.
Me too. You're July, baby? Are you a Leo?
No, I'm a Cancer.
Okay.
Should
have known.
Yeah.
Figures. I don't know what any of that means. Go ahead. What was your first UT football experience? You don't remember your first game?
I remember one of the early years I can remember when I was little was going up and getting an autograph from Casey Clawson, which was really cool. He was super nice. It was back when they used to do like the signatures and stuff in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And so like my dad and I, we were just wandering around and he was telling me who was who and stuff like that. And but the actual game, I can't remember. I might have to ask my dad, see if he remembers.
Oh, we got to get you to a game that matters. You've never been to an SEC game.
Yeah. No, they're always more expensive. And I'd love to, though. I feel like it'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like a big night game at Neyland. We got a couple. Mm. I mean, I like this opening on Thursday night thing, man. I think it's cool. I don't know if it's a forever tradition, but I think the past 2 years it's helped – Tennessee stand out a little bit. It shine a little spotlight on the program. I think this year, you know, I would be stunned if Tennessee does not pound Ball State's eyes shut. So I think it'll be one of those things. And then the thing I like most about it is you kind of kick your feet up and watch that whole first weekend of college football. And, you know, sometimes when you open up with a cupcake, your game is almost a distraction, you know, because there's all those other big games going on the first weekend.
What's our biggest game of the first weekend?
I was just wondering that.
What was your first football game, Russell?
Georgia Tech, 1987.
Ooh.
I was in second grade. All I remember is, I know Tennessee won 22-14. There was, at some point, I remember, like, Reggie Cobb. We sat, I want to say, maybe the fourth row from the top under one of the letters, like V or O.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know any different. I thought it was awesome. Well, you know, sure. When you're a kid, like, almost, like, being up high is almost better just because.
Yeah, you could see everything.
And also, it's just like you're up high in the sky. It's fun. And I remember
exciting.
At one point, Reggie Cobb broke a long run down the sideline, and like everybody stands up as he hits into the clearing. He's like, wow, this is cool.
Wow.
Week zero games this year, Nebraska at Northwestern in Dublin. Because when I think of
Nebraska, Northwestern.
Ireland. Is it Dublin, Ohio? Or like, why would they play in Dublin?
Notre Dame.
Yeah, they used to play there. When I think of Ireland, I think of Nebraska football and Northwestern.
Yeah.
Duquesne opens at Florida State.
Duquesne.
Mike Norvell really needs to win that game.
Yeah, he does.
Understatement. North Carolina opens at home against Florida A&M, Wyoming at Illinois, Vandy is at Hawaii, Austin Peay at Western Kentucky, Nevada at New Mexico State, UConn at Utah State. So no huge week zero games, but those of us who are junkies will find we'll be watching some of that.
Yeah.
I will be anyway. All right, opening weekend games. You got Oregon versus Georgia.
Ooh.
I believe that's down in the
– That would have been a lot better if Cristobal was still at Oregon.
But you've got Landanning playing his first game against his former team.
Yeah. He's going to get smoked.
He is.
Like a joint cigarette.
Probably.
He's rolled up.
Notre Dame at Ohio State. Be a good one.
Ohio State's going to win that one, I bet.
West Virginia at Pitt. That's on Thursday. That's on with our game, right?
That's the first week?
Mm-hmm.
What do they call that one? Is that the backyard brawl?
I think so. Yeah.
Why would you have that the first week?
Why not?
I don't know. Remember Miami and FSU used to play that first week. You remember that back in the old days?
Yeah. Kind of liked it. How about this? This is an underrated game right here, week one.
All right.
Cincinnati at Arkansas.
Ooh. I'm going to go with Arkansas. I think they're going to win.
Cincinnati lost. Where did Desmond Ritter end up?
He's in Atlanta. With
they
got to
break
Smith
in a new quarterback. And that KJ Jefferson, it feels like he's been at Arkansas for 20 years.
He's pretty good.
And then, of course, you got the Urban Meyer Classic, Utah at Florida.
Oh,
the
let's go Utes.
Pac-12 champs try their luck in the swamp as the Billy Napier era opens.
I'm telling you, the week of the season's October the 8th.
Well, and you know how they have they'll have some games on Sunday, too. We got two pretty good games on Sunday.
Who we got on Sunday? Is that Labor Day weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
You got Clemson and Georgia Tech.
Not
and
bad.
Then you've got Florida State and LSU.
Ooh.
Beauregard against Mike Norvell?
No. Oh, FSU against LSU. I just said Miami.
FSU, LSU.
Beauregard's going to win that one. It'd be nice if Norvell could, you know, start the Kelly experience off with a loss.
Well, I mean, Mike Norvell, I just feel like that's not a good fit. it started poorly. Who did they lose to? Was it Jacksonville State or Jacksonville?
Were we enamored with him at one point?
Yeah.
Well, we dodged some bullets.
Oh, yeah.
Norvell, Fuente.
In 2017, I mean, we had a mass psychosis. I mean, I convinced myself that Chad Morris was the answer at one point.
Yeah.
Well,
at the same time, questioning who the hell Tony Vitello was.
We hired Jeremy stinking Pruitt. I mean, that tells you the level of desperation we reached.
Born Doran.
Who else? I mean, we really wanted Mullen at one point. Chip Kelly, there was a strong fascination there. Obviously, Gruden.
Oh, me and you were all in on Mullen.
Yeah, I love Tennessee.
My younger brother reminded me of that.
Oh, yeah. We all wanted the
Moose
Knuckle.
You and Dubsy, you guys really liked me. He calls him Meatloaf.
Everybody did. And they were going to hire him if he hadn't taken the Florida job.
He probably would have been more successful here than he was
in
Florida.
I believe that. If Chip Kelly had taken the Florida job, Dan Mullen might still be our coach.
Oh, yeah.
We might be entering year seven of the Dan Mullen era.
With NIL? We wouldn't have all these alleged level one violations hanging over our heads? Which I got a question for you.
Okay.
All the rumblings and rumors and innuendo. We've heard about all the NIL stuff and Danny White this week. I'm just curious.
Have we rescinded the Banner Dan nickname? Are we at that point yet?
No, I'm
he
not.
He went from...
Dude, he had like a 99% approval rating like 8 weeks ago when we put the poll on the field. We're a very fickle bunch. But hear me out.
Okay.
I'm wondering if Danny White is wanting them... with one specific school he just doesn't want to deal with NIL simply because of who their defensive coordinator is.
Do what now? With
Brian Niedermeyer is a defensive coordinator at IMG Academy.
Oh.
And I really wonder if Danny White would rather us not do any big NIL deals with anybody connected in any way, shape, or form to Niedermeyer.
Wow, you are you're getting out there right now, aren't you, bud?
Is it that far out there? These guys have all threatened to sue the university for wrongful termination. They were all fired for cause.
I mean, what's your fear? We do an NIL deal with Carnell Tate and...
Just don't want... Niedermeyer doesn't need to know anything about what we're doing. How we structured deals, but that's what kind of worries me about the Francis Magawagawa kid.
I don't think
it's that X-Filey.
I don't think so. I don't think anything's changed. I think that the NCAA said what they said last month, which is, hey, we're going to start looking into these situations. I think Danny White, as pretty much every other athletics director worth his salt in this country, probably communicated to his coaches to be very careful. And maybe, yes, for our situation, because our situation football is what it is with an ongoing investigation, the NCAA from previous coach, which nobody else has to deal with, maybe it was communicated to Josh Heupel and his staff to be extra cautious and, hey, let's just, I don't say cool it, but let Spire do their thing, and we don't have to be on the phone with them every day right now, particularly when it comes to recruiting. And we can do whatever we want with the current players, the guys who are already here on campus.
Yeah.
Perfectly legal. And by all means, let's get those guys taken care of them so there's no jealousy between them and any
recruits. It's a whole pay for play, the recruiting inducement end of it.
But, I mean, I just think that.
Which, according to the NCAA, is still outlawed. Everybody is just kind of giving it a wink and a nod so far.
Well. I just keep coming back to – and, again, I know our situation is different because of what Pruitt and all, that whole situation is still going through its process, but I would love to see the NCAA. I hope all these kids that are meeting with Spire and any other schools, collectives, are being told, don't talk to the NCAA. If they knock on your door, here's a list of lawyers you can call who would love to call them on your behalf.
Yeah. I'd starting with, what's that guy's name, Michael McCann, or any of the Sportico guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, we've got a five-star Malangoa coming in this weekend. We got a four-star corner from Kentucky, Christian Conyers, who I think we have to get. Like, those are, I said earlier, the two biggest recruits on the board right now for me. You know, Heupel doesn't have to be involved. To me, there's no reason that those guys can't have a friendly meeting with Spire in the lobby of their hotels during the course of their stay this weekend and get a little pitch, get a little elevator pitch, a little presentation. Hey, you come here, this is what you can expect. And we can't give you anything now, but if you were to come here, this is what's going to happen. This is what it's going to be like. And the NCAA, got anything to say about it? Talk to the lawyers.
Yeah.
Not going to go well for you. Promise you that. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Back to wrap up the show. Oh, my goodness. Is it almost 6 already?
Yeah.
How did that happen? I feel like we just started.
Lovely conversation.
All right. We'll wrap it up after this. Speak now, forever. Hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Your number to jump in. Back with more right after this. Wrapping up Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Overtime coming up next on many of these fine Fan Run affiliates. Remind you, tomorrow we'll be out at National RX. Big show lined up. Trey is going to join live from Omaha. He's at this game. This is getting interesting.
Yeah, I saw him tweeting. It's getting trippy. it's getting trippy, Trey.
Ole Miss up 2-0 in the bottom of the 7th. Arkansas has 2-on, 2-out. This dude threw 92 great pitches. Are they – they're
Dylan
pulling
DeLucia.
Him?
Yeah, they're pulling him.
Yeah, I think you got to bring in a lefty to face Slade.
Well, Ole Miss really got screwed last night. That guy, they reviewed it, and still, that's why I even have review if you're not even going to get it right. That one was obvious.
No, they're
last
leaving
night.
Him in, bro. They'll leave this dude in. He's 92 pitches. Grounder. Oh, that's a tough play.
Got him. Wow.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo! Playing with fire, huh?
Looks that way.
865-546-8200. So Trey will join in hour number one live from Omaha. Then in hour number two, Evan Russell joins the show. And we'll be able to talk to him about his UT career and all the drama surrounding him heading into the NCAA tournament and get his take on that. And talk about his future as well. Let's go. Wrap things up here. Roger is next on the drive. Good afternoon, Raj.
Hey, Wrestling Bear. How y'all doing?
Doing all right, man. Are you okay, Raj? You sound a little rough. You got a little cold?
Yeah, a little rough. I'm getting it up. I'm thinking a lot about it. I'm not feeling good, but I'm just really calling into the show today. So, though, that's how I'm kind of any better to you? Any better to you, Wrestling?
Yeah. You sound plenty good, Raj. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right, I just want to ask you a question. This question to you, another question about your time. But I want to ask you the embarrassing question, and also my concern. If you get time, if you can answer right now or not. Because the question is tough. It's tough question. If you can answer now or not, but that's why I ask you. And try to ask you to see what you say. But that's why I ask you, Russell, which loss. When those Tennessee baseball team lost against Notre Dame, and also the basketball team lost to Michigan, I just want to ask you which one do y'all hurt more? I mean, or might be the same. I mean, it could be just,
that's a very un-Raj question. I mean,
I go back more to what Tony Vitello said. I can't remember the answer. What question it was in response to? But it's like asking somebody if they'd rather be waterboarded with Aquafina or Dasani water. They're both soul-crushing, Roger.
I don't know, man. I,
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I want to say basketball, but
yeah.
I don't know, man. It might be baseball. What about? What do you say? I don't know that I can, Roger. They were just both equally devastating.
Yeah, you're right. Was so mine is baseball because they're supposed to win. So mine is baseball because Tennessee's supposed to win the fall. So my interest in baseball. But I just want to call that to y'all. See what y'all say about that. You know about.
Well, I appreciate you, Rog.
You know about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your intro? So Russell, what's your intro on that one?
I don't know. I can't answer, Roger. I can't.
I can't either. They're both horrible.
I'm leaning towards baseball, but I feel like it's just recency bias.
Yeah, I do too.
Rog, good to hear from you, my friend. I hope you're feeling better. Go get yourself a cup of hot tea or something. Want to get Chris in here before the end of the show. Good afternoon, Chris. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hey, how you guys doing? Kind of weird cheering for Ole Miss, but you know, I just can't cheer for Arkansas in baseball. I can cheer from the other sports, but not after the whole.
No,
their fans are all over our butts, and you know, Dave Van Horn, Tony Vitello, beef. I just can't cheer for them.
No, they need to go. They need to go home.
I don't like their fans. I don't like them. I don't like their town. I don't like them.
You don't like Fayetteville's a great town. That whole northwest Arkansas is really nice.
Northwest Arkansas.
Rogers, Bentonville, and Fayetteville.
Nah. Had nothing but bad experiences in Arkansas. The only good thing to come out of Arkansas was Cody McClure.
That's pretty low standards, even though we love Cody. But yeah.
Damn, Chris.
I like sausage.
Man. I love sausage. I'm a big sausage guy.
I miss old Cody on the radio show. Is he still in Nashville?
Yeah, I ate dinner with him the other night, Monday night.
So, yeah, I enjoyed him listening to him on the radio. But, yeah, Arch to Texas, I don't know how much you've talked about this. I just now got to tune in. Of course, pretty much always listen to the podcast. But, I mean, that's been in the works for, like, almost a year. It's not a surprise. That's been a rumor going around for months and months he was going there.
Well, that's one of the four or five schools that he was considering. But I don't think
he was looking hard at Georgia.
Yeah, I don't think it was a done deal until recently here.
Maybe not, but it was basically down to Texas and Georgia, but everybody presumed he was going to Georgia. But I don't know if you follow this guy on Twitter. His name is Wes Blankenship.
Oh, I love that
guy.
You may
have heard of him. About to say, he did a Matthew – I mean, you talk about Matthew McConaughey. It's unreal. I mean, he sounds identical, just the voice, the expressions. He did a thing on Arch today, but it's hysterical. I don't know how he does it. It's unreal, but yeah.
Since you already check that out.
Fine. But for anybody out there listening, follow him on Twitter, Wes Blankenship. It's pretty incredible what he can do.
Is that you from On Three? Does he work for On Three?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Huh. He may. I have no idea.
He does those high school football radio broadcasts where he's created like his own high school. And
I'll tell you another good follow. I can't remember. I follow him. I'll retweet it next time I see it. It's that guy who's like the fake baseball football high school coach. Have you seen that guy's tweets? He's just like over the top crazy high school coach tweets that he puts out.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I can't think of the name I know you're talking about.
And he's like, catcher did something wrong, so I took away it made him caught without his chest protector.
But surprised we haven't seen a tweet from Andrew Ray today, you know, the crazy troll who supposedly lived up in Oregon who would – you know, the Georgia guy. Right.
Love that guy.
I haven't seen him in a long time. I figured he may come out today with Arch choosing Texas over Georgia. But
dude, that guy's
supposedly
a
nut. He's a humongous troll and lives in Oregon, but obviously pretty hysterical. So
the Georgia superfan lives in Oregon?
That just blew your mind.
People think. He's not a fan. He's a just hilarious troll, unlike Andy Bowser, who's a psychopathic guy for Tennessee. But supposedly Andrew Ray lives in Oregon. It's just a humongous troll. I have no idea why he picked Georgia to make them fans look like idiots, but supposedly he did.
Chris, we got to run, man. Thanks.
All right, have a good show. See you.
Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime. Up next, we'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.